Welcome to Marketing Tips for Translators for a successful freelance career and lifestyle with your host, Tess Whitty.
Welcome to episode 225 of the Marketing Tips for Translators podcast. I hope you're all doing great today. In this episode, I am interviewing a translation industry veteran who has developed a new platform for us translators. I met him at the ATA conference in Palm Springs recently, and we talked about the platform, and I actually also met him in Bologna in the spring. So I'm very excited to have him here, and I was very impressed with this new platform that takes away the middleman of an agency and connects us with translation buyers that values high quality translations and pay our rates. Sounds great, doesn't it? But before I welcome our guest today, I just wanted to share a short podcast review. This one is from Bjorn. He says, "People pay good money for equitable amounts of professional advice, resources, and instruction." Thank you, Bjorn, for this testimonial and podcast review. I really appreciate it. And if you are listening today and you enjoy these podcasts and have not yet left a review, I would really appreciate if you take a minute to leave a review. You can go to the show notes and click on your favorite podcast platform to leave it. I love hearing what you think, and it helps with the podcast algorithm. So now I want to welcome our guest today. Welcome to the podcast, Jürgen Gunz.
Thank you, Tess. Happy to be here.
It's good to have you here. And you are living in Leuven, Belgium, right? So tell me how you pronounce your name.
We say Jürgen Gunz.
Jürgen Gunz. Okay.
Yeah, that's quite nice. Yeah, good.
I lived in Antwerp for half a year. But
oh, really? Yes. Oh, that's nice. Yes. That's nice. Yeah. I don't mind if people mispronounce my name. In the States, it's often Jürgen. I don't mind as long as they don't make it Jürgen.
Yes, I can understand that.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about yourself and your career in the translation industry to start with.
Yeah, so I started back in 2001, where I joined a company that had just decided to refocus. So they were building rule-based machine translation before that they aimed to sell at end users, at companies, actually. Mm-hmm. They decided, or they concluded, that it was hard to build a sustainable business model out of just selling rule-based machine translation as a software tool to companies. Mm-hmm. So they decided to build a whole translation workflow around it, actually, to kind of put their machine translation in the market. So they when I joined the company, we started building a whole workflow that would extract the text, so there would be file format converters. We would manage a translation memory for the customers, so run a translation memory analysis on those files, mm-hmm. Manage terminology databases, and then to all the fuzzy matches and no matches, apply their rule-based machine translation engine, mm-hmm. and then give discounts for that as well to the customers. And then it even had a proprietary editor to build in. For the translators needed to work.
Okay, so you don't have do you know multiple languages, and have you worked as a translator at all, or are you just a business?
No, so I'm trained as an IT-er.
Okay,
I do speak Dutch, French, German, and a little bit of Italian.
Yes,
and English.
You live in Belgium.
I live in Belgium. Yeah,
they all speak multiple languages there.
Yes. I was their chief technology officer. So that company eventually evolved into Explanation Language Services, which was one of the biggest LSPs. It was, I think, number 42 when I left them. Mm-hmm. So I was their chief technology officer from 2003 till 2017. So you can blame me for all the technology that was developed there, because as a translation agency, they decided to stick to developing that much technology in my opinion, back then, of course, with a far too small team of developers to still maintain that technology. Mm-hmm. But in parallel, I was also, from 2010 till 2015, their chief operations officer. So there I was in charge also of the different teams of translation project managers that they had in 9 countries.
Mm-hmm. So why did you decide to leave and develop your own software?
Well, at the end of my career there, so back in 2015, I followed an executive MBA course because rather selfishly, I was convinced that we could do more with the technology that we were building there, and I could generate extra revenues from that technology. Mm-hmm. But then while I was taking that course, I got so many new insights, especially from the trip we did with the school to Silicon Valley. Mm-hmm. I got so many new insights that when I was back in Belgium, I started discussing with one of my colleagues, who's now also one of my co-founders at Lilo. And his conclusion back then was also, well, he said, I think for LSPs in general, not only the one we were working for, he said, I think the best translators are paid the least.
Yeah. Okay.
That's just because the project managers know who are the best translators, so they fill their schedule with as much as possible assignments from that LSP. But then, of course, you have this power imbalance, and the LSP can just negotiate and say, well, you get this amount of work from us, so you need to lower your rates. And a lot of those translators don't have any choice, because it's almost their only customer where they're working for.
And I have also noticed that some translation agencies, once they know that you are a high quality translator and the clients are very happy with you, they start using you as a reviewer or proofreader instead.
Oh, yes. Yes.
And
also,
for some reason, we just don't earn as much per hour as a proofreader or reviewer as we could do as a translator. Mm-hmm. So that is one other way to start earning less.
Or if you are a good translator, you get to work for their new customers, which means that you get different assignments all the time, because you're working for different customers. Mm-hmm. Instead of what their job should be, they should be telling the customers that they are in fact managing a pool of freelance translators, but they try to hide as much as possible information from their end customers, so they portray themselves as delivering the translation, the end product, while actually they are managing a workforce for that customer. That's how they should. That's how they should portray themselves towards those customers.
But your new software or platform doesn't really have anything to do with machine translation, does it?
No, we do incorporate it, though. If the customer wants, we can do a pre-translation also with machine translation.
Okay. Yes. Well, tell us about this and translation environment platform for translators, especially. You claim that it takes the squeeze out of translation projects. What do you mean?
Well, a bit as I explained already, because you're not, you don't have this single supplier anymore. Mm-hmm. What we actually like to think of Lilo is that you're working for direct customers, because you see their name, they see your name, and they actively select you. So there is this kind of trust relationship that can be built between the customer, who now gets to know who the translators are, because through the LSP, of course, they cannot know who are the translators. So now they see who are the translators, They build this trust relationship, and they know that you are their specialist in their subject matter. Mm-hmm. So you can charge a little more towards those customers.
So you take away the middleman, so to speak.
I take away the middleman. And another thing with what I mean with taking away the squeeze is that in those LSPs, because the focus is, of course, on making as much as possible profit, project managers are also overloaded with work. So that means that all the projects that are not urgent, unfortunately, stay on their desk for a while until they get urgent. So actually, all the work, by the time it gets to the translators, becomes urgent. And then when you ask for a small deadline extension, they don't dare to go back to the customer to ask for that because they've actually been sitting on the project for a week. So it's one of the other things I mean with the squeeze, not only price, but also time-wise, or they might even pressure you into taking weekends assignment because, you know, you get that much work from them. So you should really take this weekend assignment because they don't have any other solution.
And with day, we're sort of now generalizing translation companies and agencies. And of course, not all of them are the same.
No, of course not. Yeah.
Yes.
So, I'm really talking about the really big ones. Take a Lionbridge or a Transperfect. I think most of these things apply to them.
So let's go back a little bit to the companies or the translation buyers. What are the advantages of, well, your platform is called Lilo, first of all.
Yes.
What are the advantages of Lilo for them?
Well, I always like to portray it as I'd like to make it easier for them than sending an email to their translation agency explaining what the document is about and by when they need it translated, etc. Because with our site, they just drag and drop the file on our platform, on our website, and we immediately start analyzing it. So one of the first things we do is we take out the text and we detect in which language it's written. So we already pre-select the source language, and then they just need to indicate to which languages they want to translate that file. And then we start doing a couple of things in parallel. And the most important is we have an algorithm that learns what our freelance translators have translated through our platform so that when that document is uploaded, we can actually, thanks to these artificial intelligence algorithms, we can rank our collection of translators according to who has most subject matter expertise to translate this particular document.
Okay. What about confidentiality then, with the algorithm, I mean?
Yeah, so that's our customers know that when they upload their files to our system, they are actually using our platform a bit similar to how they are using Google Drive or Microsoft OneDrive, because they're storing their files in our translation memory. Actually their translation memory, which we just host for them. So those files are separated based on separated belonging to the customer.
Okay. Any other?
The second thing that we do in parallel is that we run the translation memory analysis then for them. So we've converted the file into XLIF. We run the first analysis, and then we take whatever pricing profile that our translators filled in, so they can choose their word rate freely. We don't intervene. They can even specify up to the percentage of discounts they want to give for fuzzy matches, etc. And we just apply that pricing scheme to the first analysis of the translation memory. So we can actually show the customer, look, these are the translators that fit most with the document you uploaded. These are the ones that are most suited to do that translation. And this is how much the translation would cost with them to translate this document.
Okay.
What we typically see is that then they click through on the profiles of the first four or five translators that we suggest, and they actually read about these people, what they describe, that their expertise is and their experience. And then they need to select one of them to send the job to.
Okay. So how many customers or translation buyers do you have on the platform already? Isn't it quite a new platform?
It's a fairly new platform. We just started going towards companies actually in April this year. Mm-hmm. And now we have about 30 organizations that use it, that have used it more than once, so that are sending regular assignments through the platform.
Okay, let's move over to the translation providers or the translators. What are the advantages then of this Lilo platform for translators?
Yeah, so a bit the same as I already said previously, because this file analysis is automated. As a translation provider, you can consider us a bit as a tool that automatically generates a quote for you. You don't need to get the source file anymore and open it in your CAD tool to make an analysis and then send a quote to the customer. That's kind of automated. Mm-hmm. On top of that, it's a way for you to find or to get more customers. And like I said in the very beginning, I'd like to consider them as your direct customer, because you get a direct communication line to that mm-hmm. customer. Mm-hmm. So when they order a certain translation to you, you get in that project page, there's a chat component, so you can communicate directly with the customer. And one of the interesting things there is that we try to centralize that communication per project, so that you as a translator into Swedish, you also see if your colleague who's translating the same file into Polish has a question about that file, you see his question and the answer of the customer as well.
So it's a collaboration platform that takes away a lot of the administrative work that we would have to do before we can actually start translating.
Yes, both on the analysis part, but also on the invoicing part. Because no matter for how many customers you work through our platform, we keep track for you. There's a list of all the tasks you did. Uh-huh. And no matter for how many customers you worked, you can just upload one invoice for the total amount.
So we do have to invoice, but I talked to Vicky at the conference too, and one of the biggest benefits that I found then was that I don't have to keep track of like the when the client pays and
yes,
and that you do that for us.
Yes. And actually, for most of our customers, so the default setting, if I don't know them personally, is in the beginning they have no option. So when they ordered this translation from you, as I described earlier, mm-hmm. they need to fill in their credit card details. So when you upload your translation, mm-hmm. our platform actually charges their credit card. So we get payment from them at that point. Mm-hmm. And then by the time you have uploaded your invoice, we already have that money. So in normal circumstances, we pay the invoices immediately.
What if they are unhappy with the translation, though, and don't want to pay?
Yeah, unfortunately, we didn't have that yet as a problem.
Okay.
I think it's also because we targeted only professional translators mm-hmm. at the moment, and our matching algorithm works quite well as well. Or you have translated something through our platform, we ask you to indicate which domains are belonging to your specialties, so that we then only match you with these kind of documents.
Can the client leave feedback?
Yes, that at least we always ask for feedback mm-hmm. After they have received the translation, because we keep that in consideration also for that ranking algorithm so that if they would be unhappy about a certain translator, that that translator gets kind of more shifted to the right for future similar documents.
Okay. What about cat tools? Is a cat tool integrated into Lilo, or do we use our own cat tools, or how does it work?
Yes, that's also one of the advantages, I think, for translation providers, is that we leave the choice up to you. So by default, we generate an XLIF file, which can be opened in Trados, MemoQ, or any other tool. So we leave you the choice of working in the tool that you feel most comfortable with. But if you want, there is also a very light editor provided as part of the platform. At this moment, I only recommend to use our editor for the smaller files. So then you don't need to download and upload the files. You can just click on it through the translation quickly and complete the file. But for the bigger files, definitely, I would suggest you use the tool you're most comfortable in.
Okay. What about, so you said that there's an algorithm that sort of rank the translators then. What about, so can't the, so if a translation buyer sees a list of translators, then won't they just pick the one that has the lowest price?
Well, that's interesting because we don't give them any functionality to sort on price. So we only provide the sorting based on the match, on which is based on the subject matter. If they want to find the cheapest one, they'll have to click a couple of times until they get to see the entire list. But again, interestingly, what we've seen so far with the customers that have used it, they have never yet chosen the cheapest solution. And again, I think that's because we do a good job in explaining it to them, that we do this matching to obtain quality. So they are fairly okay with choosing the ones that are that get a high ranking from us. They don't go searching for the cheapest one.
Okay, so price pressure is not an issue on Lilo.
So far, no. Probably we will have at some point, we will have a customer that wants to go for the cheapest and they might go through an effort to finding the cheapest. But you have these kind of customers everywhere, I guess.
Yeah, okay. This all sounds really good. Is there anything else we should know as translators about Lilo?
So we mentioned machine translation just briefly before. So as I said, next to the automatic application of the translation memory, customers can also choose to have the no matches and the fuzzy matches pre-translated by machine translation. Currently, we only support DeepL for that. So we only support the language pairs that are covered by DeepL. But very importantly, as a translator, you decide whether you want to give discount for that and how much discount you want to give for that. If you say, I don't like machine translation, I don't like, then just fill in 100% in that box and you're actually not giving any discounts then for machine translation.
Okay, so we don't need to become post editors.
Exactly. I leave that up to you. Of course, there could be an effect on the pricing if it's a very, very large document and there's another colleague that ranks similarly on subject matter and they do give, let's say, 15% discount for machine translation matches. It might have a price impact, of course. That's something you need to be aware of. But we don't interfere. We don't pressure in anything. So.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So where can we find out more about Lilo?
Well, the URL of the website is lilo.global. It's a bit new. Not a lot of people get that, and they want to add a .com or a .be or something to it. But the URL is .global. I don't find enough time to add more information there. But if you scroll down on the bottom, you'll see a small link in the footer that says why use Lilo, and then there's some more information also on more advantages even for translators.
Okay. And if we listeners now, translators, want to sign up, where do we go?
Yeah, you go to lilo.global, and then in the upper right corner, there's a link that says I'm a freelance translator. Mm-hmm. And there you can just create a profile. And maybe what we didn't mention just yet, there's no subscription fee to have your profile on Lilo. And also everything you fill in your pricing profile, Lilo doesn't take a cut in that. So what the customer sees is what we pay you.
So for translators, it doesn't cost anything, and we can get connected to direct clients on the platform.
Yes.
That sounds pretty awesome.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. We only charge a service fee to the customer side, but that's quite fair because we also store their translation memory.
Yes. Yes. You take care of a lot of things for them too.
Yeah.
And for the translators. Thank you, Jürgen. Jürgen?
Yeah, no problem.
for coming to the show and telling us about this platform. I think it sounds pretty neat. Yeah. I have already registered on the platform, and I can't wait to see it in action once. It's already active, but I don't think you have like customers that need Swedish software localization yet and stuff.
Not yet. So yeah. I have somebody new starting now, end of this month, that will help us to launch some campaigns on social media, so towards customers that will be most likely primarily LinkedIn, but also Google AdWords, etc. Mm-hmm. And those campaigns will go globally. So let's hope some work comes your way after that.
Yeah. Now, I encourage the listeners to go check it out, too, because no need to work through the middleman anymore or feel pressure to reduce our prices so that someone else can make a profit. This sounds very exciting, and go check it out. And thank you again, Jürgen, for coming on to the show.
My pleasure.
Now, go to marketingtipsfortranslators.com/225, and I will have a link to Lilo and a direct link for registering too, so that you can go and check it out. So thank you for listening. I go find out more information in the show notes, and I hope to see you in the next episode next week. Thank you, everyone. Are you new to the freelance translation business? Perhaps you're struggling to find a steady stream of clients, or you're unsure what rates to charge and how to develop your marketing material. I have mentored, coached, and trained freelance translators for many years, but never before created materials specifically for freelance translators just starting out. I would like to introduce you to the Marketing Academy for Beginning Translators. It is a complete guide to getting a steady stream of translation work and clients. Learn how to market your translation services and get a steady stream of translation jobs in just 5 weeks. Get the steps to gain experience, set your rates, develop your basic marketing material, and find translation clients without wasting time on activities that don't work or becoming overwhelmed or discouraged. To find out more or to register, please go to marketingtipsfortranslators.com/marketing-academy.